It's another day here at the Comeback Team Studios. This is your boy, Beck Lover, and welcome to another episode of Interesting Times on the Beck Lover Podcast, where I gather all the interesting news, all the top stories around the world, anything that's interesting, exciting, or just flat out hilarious. I do all the hard work, so you don't have to. I keep you informed, folks. So stay up to date, stay smart, stay in the know, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe here on YouTube, Spotify, where you can watch my episodes, Rumble, or you can listen on any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. I'm out there, folks. And let's have some fun and let's get into it today. Interesting times indeed, my friends. Well, for those of you that were hoping for the end of the world during the solar eclipse, we're still here. Nothing really crazy happened. I heard of all the theories from power's going to go out, we're going to descend into chaos, then there was the whole CERN, they're going to shoot missiles towards the moon. I mean, you heard everything. Now, did I have a couple videos that went viral? Yes, but it had nothing to do with the solar eclipse. I still have my concerns with CERN, but there's a lot of, I got to say, there's a lot of times where we get worked up and people overreact and go crazy. And I had people in my close circle going, oh my God, the world's going to end and this and that. No one knows the future except God. Even I always say this, you guys just see little bites and you don't see the whole episode when I'm on podcast. I say, this is a theory. This is a thought that I have. Only God knows the future, and I stand by that. Only God knows when the world's going to end. Now, do the religions have signs of the end of the world? Does it seem like we're getting closer towards Armageddon and all that stuff? Absolutely. From a religious perspective, from the Christian Islamic perspective, yes, absolutely. There's a lot of things that have happened in the last 30 years that are mentioned specifically, especially in Islam, of the end of the world. And I'll give you a few of those signs. When the buildings in Arabia touch the sky and they compete with one another to build buildings, this is one of the signs. When the deserts of Arabia, which by the way, if you Google that, they had rain recently, and all of the deserts around Saudi Arabia are actually turning green. And that was one of the signs of the end of time in Islam. When the Jews return to the Holy Land to claim it as their own, when man marries man and woman marries woman and men dress like women and women dress like men, when more children are born out of wedlock than in wedlock, right? Out of marriage, bastards. This is the generation of bastards. These are some of the signs of the end of time in the Muslim tradition and the Christian tradition, if you read the signs. The Euphrates River drying up. The Euphrates River is drying up recently, last 20, 30 years, one of the most important rivers in human civilization and post-human civilization. It's one of the most important rivers, even spiritually, the Euphrates, the Euphrat, as they call it. So I didn't say the world was going to end because of the solar eclipse, just to clarify my stance. If you can find anywhere where I posted that, I'll stop doing my podcast. So pay attention, folks. It's a pretty pleasant day here in New York City. A lot of people of the Muslim faith are off today. A lot of schools are closed in the tri-state area and in areas like Michigan that have very big Middle Eastern communities and people that follow the Muslim faith. Today is one of the only two major holidays in the religion of Islam. Today is known as Eid. And for those of you that are ignorant about one-fifth of the world, because I don't care if you like Muslims, you could hate them all you want. There's 2 billion of them in the world. That means 1 out of 5 people, just like 1 out of 5 people in the world's Chinese, and 1 out of 5 people in the world's Indian, Hindu. 1 out of 5 people in your neighborhood where you live is Muslim. It does not hurt to know a little bit about this religion. A, so you can stop being racist and full of hatred. 2, so you can create some brotherly love between cultures, which is what makes America beautiful, in my opinion, is what's made us so strong, is that all these different ideas and people can come together and make some amazing food happen, especially in places like New York City, because you have that fusion. That's the beauty of when there's these cross cultures, right? But today is one of the most important holidays in the religion of Islam. It celebrates the end of the 30-day fast of the month of Ramadan. It's the holiest month in the lunar calendar, similar to the Jewish calendar. The Muslims follow the moon cycle instead of the Greco-Roman calendar, which is based on the sun. The lunar calendar goes back every 10 to 11 days every year. So that's why Ramadan shifts every year. It goes back a little bit earlier in the calendar. So in 10 years, it'll be 100 days earlier in the year than it is now, which makes some years very easy to fast and makes some years very hard to fast. The fast of Ramadan requires a Muslim who is devout to not eat, drink, or do anything. You know, it's not just eating and drinking, the way you speak, saying dirty words, what you're watching. You can't be scrolling on Instagram and looking at girls juggling their breasts. It is a full fast, mentally, spiritually. It's why I was off the air for a couple of weeks. I was really focusing these last 2 weeks. And I must tell you, I feel a lot better now than I did before the month started. I feel spiritually charged. I feel so grateful for all the blessings that I have. Because when you're not eating and drinking all day and all night, regardless if you believe in God or not, I recommend everyone try it for a week. It is amazing to put your life into perspective, to reset your system. Your stomach shrinks automatically. You don't need a shot of Ozempic. You could do a month of Ramadan, and I promise you, after you break your fast, it's very hard to eat because your body gets so used to not having a lot of food in it, your stomach contracts. A couple bites of food. It really is a way to reset everything in your life. And I truly feel blessed to have participated during the month of Ramadan most of my life. What's nice for you people to know is about your neighbors. As you can see here in the shot, for those of you watching me on broadcast, this is a shot of Mecca. Mecca has nothing to do with the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is believed in the Muslim religion that this is where Abraham, okay, the father of all three religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, this is where Muslims believe that Abraham, with his two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, built the temple to worship the one God. This house here that you see, the black cube as people call it, is nothing more than basically the first mosque on earth. Inside of that box, there's nothing. It's just four walls. Muslims do not have images. They do not have idols. They do not pray to pictures. They do not worship anything but God itself. They do not worship this box at all. But there is a religion of unity, meaning that all Muslims, wherever they are around the world, they all focus towards this house so that all Muslims pray in the same direction. It's basically a channeling of energy. If they all focus and make intention towards this, I believe it to be probably the most powerful vortex in the world of people that are spiritually charged, praising the Creator, praising God, begging for his forgiveness and his mercy as they circumvent the house of Abraham counterclockwise, which means the elevation of the soul. The Prophet Muhammad did not invent this box. It was there before his life. He returned. He came as a prophet to cleanse this house, which had been plagued with idols of various different gods that the pagan Arabs were worshiping and desecrating one of the most holiest, if not the holiest place on earth, because it is where Abraham, peace be upon him, built the house to worship the one God. It's where he left his wife in the middle of the desert. And legend has it, as he left the desert, he raised his hands and asked God to make it a place of safety and sanctuary. And when Muslims go to Mecca to perform their pilgrimage, they're actually retracing the steps of Abraham during the time that he left his wife and newborn child in the middle of a scorching desert. And God caused springs to appear, of which she was able to sustain herself. And then Bedouins came and people gathered, and eventually it became a metropolis. But later on in history, it became plagued with adultery and gambling and prostitution and slavery and ignorance and fairy tales and idol worship. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, Jesus will be coming back. But the Prophet, during his life, his job was to cleanse that house of the idols and return people to true monotheism. Again, this is not to convince you. This is just to understand your neighbor, one out of five people, so they're not so strange to you. If you're a Christian or a Jew, you believe in Abraham also. That is one of the prophets that unites all three religions, which is why they should not be killing each other. And there should be a happy Hanukkah and a happy, you know, Eid to the Muslims. And there should be a unity here of people that believe in God. That's all. In any event, to those of you that celebrate this holiday, peace and blessings upon you and your families. I hope your fast counts. Are we one step closer to Skynet? I'm going to get into some articles that are absolutely crazy about the military and AI and some scary, scary stuff, folks. Speaking of flying in the air, Boeing, I'm scared to death to get on one. What about you guys? We're going to get into that in a little bit. Like I said, I cover all the interesting stories. I have a lot to get into today. Make sure you guys drop a comment. I need your help. I work really hard to do this. No one pays me. I don't have sponsors. And if you enjoy my work, the greatest compliment you can give me is a 5-star review either on Apple Podcasts or on any podcast platform. Also, tell one or two or three of your friends and family members, hey, check out this crazy guy, Beck Lover. You might just learn a thing or two about life. So remember, I cover all the interesting headlines from around the world, so you don't have to waste your time looking for it. I give you an interesting take on the news, and I like to interact with you guys. So please drop comments, make reaction videos, follow me on Twitter and Instagram also, where I post tons of content. My Instagram is almost close to 85,000 now, thanks to you guys and girls, and I love you, and I thank you. So make sure you hit that sub button and support your boy, Beck Lover. In any event, we have a ton of headlines to get into, so I'm going to jump right into it, and I hope you enjoy today's broadcast. So here we go. Reported by Chicago's WGN number 9 news, Johnson city leaders react to footage of deadly CPD shooting in Humbleton Park. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says he's focused on both accountability in transparency following the release of body cam video that captured a fatal gunfire exchange in March between Chicago police and a 26-year-old man. The difficult-to-watch police video in which nearly 100 shots were fired by officers after the civilian office of police accountability says Dexter Reed fired first has elicited emotional reactions from city leaders. Not long after the police shooting video was released, Johnson called the footage deeply disturbing. I know this footage is extremely painful and traumatic for many of our city residents. It will be especially difficult for those of us living in communities where the events depicted occur all too often. Mayor Johnson, a West Side resident raising two black boys, spoke in personal terms. I am personally devastated to see another young black man lose his life during an interaction with the police. My heart breaks for the family of Dexter Reed. The mayor says he spoke to Reed's family and visited the officer who was shot during the incident. Thankfully, he's recovering, but if that bullet had hit him a few inches in a different direction, I would be here today talking about the loss of another black man. As COP investigates, it is imperative that our process is deliberate and transparent. Our ongoing review and collaboration will continue. On Tuesday, members of the city council reacted to the video. The one fact that remains beyond the dispute is that Dexter Reed initiated the gun battle. So, again, I agree. There's tons of corruption at times with police officers. Sometimes there's a gross overstep of them using their power. Not all cops are the best. Not all doctors are the best. You have doctors, you go to the wrong doctor, you're dead. You come across the wrong cop, he's in a bad mood, he's not professional, you're dead. Which is why you have to be extra, extra, extra careful when dealing with the police. And maybe African Americans, above all else, have to be more careful than anyone else, because it seems like they're the ones that are always ending up in these horrible situations. However, you can't ignore one fact here. He shot towards the cops first. So I don't understand how they expected this to happen any other way if you fire upon police. And is race being used to justify these actions? I don't know. To me, what happened with George Floyd, forgive me for the mix-up there. What happened with George Floyd was a gross overstep of power, having his knee on the guy's neck. He couldn't breathe. You know, a lot different than a guy firing a weapon at a police officer. So what do you think about this? Drop a comment below. former Richneck assistant principal charged with felony child abuse. This is reported by Wavy.com. More than a, this is in Newport News, Virginia. More than a year after Abby Zwirner was shot by her six-year-old student, the school's former assistant principal, Ebony Parker, 39 years old, has been charged with eight counts of felony child abuse, according to court records. Court documents reveal Parker being responsible for the care of the student at the school committed a willful act or omission in the care of said students in violation of Virginia Code 18.2-37.1. Parentheses B. According to the document, the Commonwealth recommends a secured bond of $4,000 and a surrender of passports if one exists. This comes less than 2 weeks after the attorneys for Abby Zwirner confirmed the school's teacher's $40 million lawsuit is going to trial. These charges suggest that there is sufficient evidence that the students of Richneck were placed in peril by the very hands entrusted to protect them. As a representative of seven families, I remain optimistic that our criminal justice system will provide answers to the Richneck community. For the first time in over a year, the families may find comfort in knowing that the administration is being held accountable. Each of the lawsuits seeks $3 million in damages as well as other punitive damages. Zwirner's attorneys allege Parker was warned three times before the shooting that the six-year-old student had a gun, but she failed to call 911 or put the school on lockdown. There was also no security on guard that day. If this is true, and this VP, vice principal, was warned three times that a kid has a gun, and they didn't react right away and take care of this, there's something grossly wrong here. This is gross negligence. Or was she trying to hide it under the rug? I do not know. If found guilty, she could face up to 40 years in prison. Why is a six-year-old getting how does a six-year-old get their hands on a firearm? I own firearms. They're safely secured. They're in safes, and if somehow my kids can get into those safes, there's trigger locks on every single one of my firearms, and the ammunition is stored separately. Three safeguards. How the hell did this kid get the gun is my question. Forget all this other stuff we're reading about. James Jennifer Crumbly get 10 to 15 years in prison for a role in Oxford school shooting, Detroit Free Press reports. In a climatic ending to a historic case, a judge sentenced James and Jennifer Crumbly both to 10 to 15 years in prison for their roles in the 2021 Oxford High School mass shooting committed by their son, who murdered four students, injured seven other people, and terrorized the community using a gun that he had long begged for. Before handing down the sentence, Oakland County Circuit Court Judge Cheryl Matthews addressed the victims' families, telling them, "I can't and will not pretend to understand the pain that these families are experiencing. I saw what you saw. I heard what you heard." After offering her most sincere condolences to the grieving families, Matthews then turned her attention to the Crumblies and schooled them on parenting. Parenting is a complex job. Parents are not expected to be psychic, but these convictions are not about poor parenting. These convictions are about that they could have halted a runaway train. She added, "Opportunity knocked over and over again, and no one answered. Mr. Crumbly, it is clear to this court that because of you, there was an unfettered access to a gun or guns as well as ammunition in your home." She termed Jennifer Crumbly's behavior at the school the day of the shooting apathetic. In the end, the judge concluded the state's recommended sentencing guidelines of 43 to 86 months did not take into account the harm of the shooting and the lack of responsibility that the Crumblys continued to take. James Crumbly brought the 9mm handgun used in the shooting as an early Christmas present on Black Friday, setting the stage for the terrifying massacre just 4 days later that robbed parents of their children, horrified a school community, and landed the Crumbly parents in history books. James and Jennifer Crumbly are the first parents in America to be held criminally responsible in a mass shooting committed by their children. Separate juries this year convicted both parents on four counts of involuntary manslaughter, one for each student their son murdered. Tate Meyer, 16, Hannah St. Juliana, 14, Madison Baldwin, 17, and Justin Schilling, 17. Truly, truly tragic story. And I do believe, if the parents made it that easy for their children to get hands on their firearms, they are criminally negligent. They should be secured. The problem here, guys and girls, is not the firearm. People do not follow the right protocols. They don't secure their firearms. They're not checking in on their children. And we have a serious mental health issue in this country. These three things together have led to this pandemic of horrible violence. Tennessee Senate passes bill allowing armed public school teachers. Now, this is one way to respond. This is reported by WKRN. Nashville, Tennessee, teachers carrying guns could soon become a reality in Tennessee schools as a bill continues to make its way through the legislature. The Senate passed HB 1202 on Tuesday, April 9th in a 26-5 vote, not long after clearing the gallery following cries for people protesting the legislation. The bill would allow faculty or staff members of a school to carry a concealed handgun on school grounds under certain conditions. Teachers who decide to carry would have to undergo 40 hours of annual gun training at their own expense, in addition to receiving an approval from the school director, passing a mental health evaluation, and passing the FBI background check. I like this. I think some teachers should be armed. I think the way things have been going over the last, I'm of the generation that Columbine was the one that started it all. I think we need either armed security or armed teachers. This is a way to stop a mass shooting event and definitely save life and definitely buy time and definitely, you know, give teachers and unarmed students a chance against these lunatics who want to just destroy everybody. I like this, Tennessee. I'm all for it. More news. Al Jazeera, former Trump executive Weisselberg gets 5 months in jail for perjury. Alan Weisselberg pleaded guilty last month to charges he lied about former President Donald Trump's finances. A New York judge on Wednesday sentenced former Trump's organization chief financial officer Alan Weisselberg to 5 months in prison for lying about former U.S. President Donald Trump's finances. Handed down the sentence, a brief hearing, Judge Lori Peterson. It came after Weisselberg, 76, pleaded guilty in last month to two counts of perjury in connection with a civil fraud lawsuit that New York State Attorney General Letitia James brought against Trump. So he bites it. Las Vegas lawyers feel the impact of Summerlin shooting. This is reported by Fox 5 in Las Vegas. Following Monday's deadly shooting at Prince Law Firm in Summerlin, beautiful part of Vegas, by the way, I was this close to moving out there back in 2017, 2018. Other lawyers in the Las Vegas Valley are speaking out to Fox 5. Richard Harris, a prominent lawyer in Southern Nevada who specializes in personal injury, tells Fox 5 he knew Joe Houston for more than 40 years. Harris said he is stunned and shaken after Monday's shooting. Harris described Houston as a good lawyer with a strong presence and aggressive. As Fox 5 reported, Houston shot and killed Dennis Prince and his wife, Ashley Prince, before turning the gun on himself. Houston was representing his son, Dylan, who was in the middle of a years-long custody battle with his ex-wife, Ashley, regarding their two kids. Records show Ashley was being represented by Dennis Prince. Harris said he knew Dennis for more than 30 years as well. Dennis is aggressive too and likes to win at all costs. They were meeting for a deposition before shots rang out as court records show Ashley had filed an emergency motion for sole custody on Monday. According to Harris, he was well aware of the custody battle that had been going on. Family law, custody battle's tough enough, Harris said when speaking about the close connection the counsel had on each side. Harris went on to say that it's a shame it ended this way. And it does. It's just horrible. And, you know, going through divorce is very stressful. Some people lose their minds during it. And that's clearly what happened here. Today, breaking, the Dow drops 500 points after surprisingly bad inflation report. This is reported by CNN.com. U.S. stocks fell sharply Wednesday morning after inflation data for March came in higher than expected. Markets recovered slightly in the mid-morning trading. The blue chip Dow was lowered by 503 points or 1.3%. The S&P lost 1.1, and the NASDAQ composite fell by 1.1%. U.S. consumer prices picked up again last month, vaulting to an increase of 3.5% for the 12 months ended in March. That's up considerably from February's 3.2% rate and marks the highest annual gain in the past 6 months. Okay? Inflation's through the roof, people. If you haven't figured it out by now, when you go to the supermarket, gas station, restaurants, everything is just crazy. I cannot believe what we're paying for beef these days. And it seems like no relief is in sight. How do you feel about the world that we're living in, Americans? Former police officer involved with the Goon Squad receives more prison time. What we know, Clarion Ledger, five former Rankin County Sheriff's deputies, this is in Mississippi, and one Richland police officer connected to the Goon Squad received state sentences Wednesday for their involvement in abusing and torturing two black men. Here we go back to evil cops. Michael Jenkins and Eddie Parker, former Rankin County Sheriff, Sheriff's deputies, Brett McAlpin, Hunter Elward, Christian Demond, Jeffrey Middleton, and Daniel Opadike, and former Richland police officer Joshua Hartfield, pleaded guilty to state charges in August 2023 regarding an incident on January 24, 2023, when the ex-officers busted into a home without a warrant, called Jenkins and Parker racial slurs, beat them, assaulted them with a sex toy, and shot Jenkins in the mouth. I mean, this is insane what these police officers did. Do you think they're probably, their grandparents were in the KKK? Probably. It's what it sounds like. I mean, what the hell were these guys thinking, man? Unbelievable what happened to them. Of course, people from the African American and Black community are going to feel like they're being targeted. When you have assholes like this making all the other police look just as bad because guilt by association, the same way these cops are trying to treat all Black people like they're evil, is how the Black community is going to view the police. And this only divides our nation further. It's because of assholes like this. Disgusting behavior. EPA, CBS News, EPA announces first ever national regulations for forever chemicals in drinking water. It's about time. I guess Biden's finally doing something good. For the first time ever, the EPA announced Wednesday it is issuing a national regulation limiting the amount of certain per and polyfluoroalkyl substances known as PFAs found in drinking water, commonly called forever chemicals. PFAs are synthetic chemicals found nearly everywhere in air, water, and soil, and can take thousands of years to break down in the environment. So imagine how long it takes to break down in your body. The EPA stated there is no safe level of exposure to PFAs without risk of health impacts, but now it will require the public water utilities test for six different types of these types of chemicals to reduce exposure in drinking water. The new standard will reduce PFAs exposures for 100 million people. Drinking water contaminated with PFAs has plagued communities across this country for too long. Do you think? For public water utility companies to comply with the new drinking water standards, the EPA is making $1 billion available to states and territories to implement PFA testing and treatment at public water systems. President Biden believes that everyone deserves access to clean, safe drinking water, and he's delivering on that promise. And I got it for that. I'm going to give him here. You know, when he does something good, I got it. It's about time. Here. He did something that helps Americans. Finally. Biden announces new state and debt relief plans for millions of borrowers. TheHill.com. Biden administration announced new student loan plans Monday that will provide relief to millions of Americans if finalized. The plan would give borrowers $20,000 in loan forgiveness for balances that have grown due to unpaid interest since entering repayment regardless of income. Those who qualify for the Save IDR plan would get the full balance of their unpaid interest forgiven. This would result in 25 million Americans getting relief from balance growth that was garnered by unpaid interest, with 23 million seeing their full balance growth canceled. The Biden-Harris administration plans to release proposed rules on these plans over the coming months. If these plans are finalized as proposed, this fall the administration would begin canceling up to 20,000 in interest for the millions of borrowers and full loan forgiveness for millions more. I don't know, man. It's not fair. I had to go through hell to pay off school. My parents helped me pay. I had a scholarship, thank God, for a good portion of it. But how is this fair to everyone else that had to go through hell? Like, how is this fair? It's just not. Do I feel bad for them? Yes. But life sucks. We all have to put up. Like, give me some home relief. Back taxes on properties and all. Like, can I get some help? Like, why does one group get help and another doesn't? Like, I don't know what the hell's going on. What do you guys think about this? Drop a comment. Half a year into the war in Gaza, here's a look at the conflict by numbers. AP News. The Israel-Hamas war has stretched on for half a year and become one of the most destructive, deadly, and intractable conflicts of the 21st century. Since Hamas' cross-border attack on October 7th, Israel has pummeled the Gaza Strip, displacing the vast majority of the population and causing many to flee to Gaza's southernmost city, Rafah. Food is scarce. The UN says famine is approaching. A few Palestinians have been able to leave the besieged territory. Now, when we look at this, and we've seen what's been going on, this war has costed Israel more than anything else. And as much as you might hate Hamas in the end, if they were able to sway a lot of the world against what Israel's doing and cloudy their public image and have people really examine what's been going on for the last 75 years, regardless of the death toll here, that's a victory for Hamas. Because I've always said this, two wrongs don't make a right. You want to win the hearts and minds. You're the superior one with firepower. You could have handled this in a way where you didn't destroy the reputation. I believe Bibi Netanyahu will go down for this. I think his own people will overthrow him because it has made Israel look absolutely horrific. It has. I don't care who you are. And if you haven't figured it out yet, forget the pictures I'm showing you here that are very graphic. Let's just look at the numbers. Palestinians killed in Gaza. This is the Associated Press, guys. 33,137 people. Children killed in Gaza. Children. More than 13,000 children. 13,000 babies, kids. People killed in Israel, about 1,200. Right? The Israelis that were killed. Palestinians killed in the West Bank, 456. They're not even in Gaza. People killed in Lebanon, at least 343. Civilians and foreigners killed in Israel on October 7, 780. First responders killed in Israel, 62. Civilians killed in Israel along its northern border, 9. Civilians killed in Lebanon, at least 50. Aid workers killed in Gaza, 224 of them lost their lives bravely trying to help people in need, including at least 30 killed in the line of duty. And the numbers go on and on. You could Google this article on the Associated Press. Israel would let 150,000 Gazans return north and potential truce, reported by Reuters. And I'm praying for this thing to end. Israel has agreed in Gaza war ceasefire talks in Egypt to concessions about the return of Palestinians to the north of the enclave, but believes Islamist groups Hamas does not want to strike a deal, Israeli officials said on Wednesday. Two officials with knowledge of the talks said that under a U.S. proposal for a truce, Israel would allow the return of 150,000 Palestinians to North Gaza with no security checks. In return, they said Hamas would be required to give a list of female, elderly, and sick hostages it still holds alive. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office declined to comment. Hamas said on Tuesday that the latest proposal passed on by the Egyptian and Qatari mediators did not meet demands, but that it would study it further. I really pray that this war comes to an end. It's just, I can't take it anymore. I can't take scrolling left or right anymore. I pray for the civilian hostages to be released also. Innocent life being destroyed all around because people can't just figure a way to just end all of this once and for all. And here's reasons why I think it will spiral out of control. And I don't think we will have a ceasefire. I think this war is just in its first phase. In my humble opinion, I think it's going to keep going. Three sons, two grandchildren of Hamas chief killed in Israeli airstrike on car. Three sons of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh were killed in an Israeli airstrike on Gaza on Wednesday. The Palestinian Islamist group and family said their three sons were killed after their car was the car they were driving in was bombed in Gaza's Al-Shati camp. So they took out three of them. Israel threatens to strike Iran directly if Iran launches attack from its territory. Israel's foreign minister threatened Wednesday that his country's forces would strike Iran directly if the Islamic Republic launched an attack from its territory against Israel. Supposedly, Iran has already promised to retaliate because of what happened with the bombing of its embassy in Syria. Also, maybe Israel could launch a false flag, say it was Iran, and then next thing you have, war between Israel and Iran, then Iran's allies get pulled in, then America gets pulled in, and the next thing you know, we have Armageddon, folks. We're literally this close, spiritually, in my opinion. I pray that this war doesn't spread to Iran. Speaking of possible wars in the future, maybe, maybe not. Reuters reports China's Xi says nobody can stop family reunion with Taiwan. Chinese President Xi told former Taiwan President Ma Yongzhou on Wednesday that outside interference could not stop the family reunion between the two sides of the Taiwan Strait and that there are no issues that cannot be discussed. Since the defeated Republic of China government fled to Taiwan in 1949 after losing the civil war to Mao Zedong's communists, no serving Taiwanese leader has ever visited China. Ma, president from 2008 to 2016, last year became the first former Taiwanese leader to visit China, is now on his second trip to the country at a time of simmering military tension across the strait. Ma had been widely expected to meet Xi this time around, having first met Xi in Singapore in 2015 for a landmark summit shortly before the current Taiwan president, Tsai Ing-wen, won election. So, I don't know. Does this mean that maybe China is just going to use its influence and take over without having to do it militarily? I don't know, but I think Taiwan's days as an independent and sovereign nation, unless they are significantly bolstered by the U.S. Now, keep in mind, the majority of microchips that we need are produced in this country, and I hope America and other countries have figured out how to make these chips as efficiently as the Taiwanese have. China to take over that region could be detrimental to technology worldwide. Russia, Kazakhstan evacuate 110,000 people as record floods set to worsen. They've had a dam burst. Make the story short, a lot of melting snow and rain. A dam burst, 110,000 people had to flee. The U.S. Air Force, now this is what I mentioned earlier. The U.S. Air Force is testing a self-flying F-16 fighter jet and is sending its boss up as a passenger. This is a major, major event, guys, in the military. The U.S. Air Force is testing a self-flying F-16 fighter jet, and it's so confident in the technology that it's sending its boss up as a passenger. Reported that the Associated Press that Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall had volunteered to be a passenger in a self-flying F-16 to see how it performs. There will be a pilot with me who will just be watching as I will be, as the autonomous technology works. Hopefully neither he or I will be needed to fly the airplane. The technology, if successful, could be smarter, more efficient, and more affordable than manually operated aircraft. And the days of fighter pilots is over. The days of characters like Maverick from Top Gun will no longer exist. Yet another job at risk. Fighter jets, fighter pilots, military pilots will probably no longer be needed in the future if this is successful. This is the world, my friends. We are becoming obsolete. As AI takes over, maybe we're going to need universal income because we're not going to be able to do anything anymore. But I don't think AI will be as entertaining as people like me. So I hope I still get to stick around unless they take over and have a totalitarian state where none of us get to work or do anything. But if I was in the military, I'd probably say that with drone technology where it is, I think we're there already. What scares me about this technology is that there'll be no human discretion. So whoever's in control of our government and our military can just push buttons and they don't even need pilots anymore. They can do that already. Saudi Arabia, also ambitious, is going to have to roll back some of that ambition, that Arab money. Bloomberg reports Saudi scale back ambition for $1.5 trillion desert project, NEOM. The line was expected to house 1.5 million by 2030. Now fewer than 300,000 are expected to live there by then. Saudi Arabia has scaled back its medium-term ambitions for the desert development. By 2030, the government at one point hoped to have 1.5 million residents living in the line. Okay, I'm not a big fan of this project. So it's going to be like one of the largest buildings in the world, straight line, basically a 15-minute city. Once you're inside of this thing, you don't even have to leave. Everything's in there. Hunger Games world with more luxuries. I'm not a fan of it. I don't give a damn about this project. But they're not hitting their goals as even though it's like, you know, a very big project with high demand and very high expectations. So they're already kind of behind schedule. I hope they take forever to finish. The Independent reports new Boeing whistleblower breaks silence about crucial flaws in 787 Dreamliner. I have some flights coming up at the end of this month. I'll be in Vegas. I'll be in LA. I'll be taking care of some big podcasts. And I'm checking every flight to make sure I'm not on a Dreamliner. I don't feel safe anymore. A new Boeing quality engineer whistleblower has spoken out about concerns over alleged shortcuts in assembling the 787 Dreamliner. Sam Salehpour, a Boeing quality engineer, is expected to speak on the safety concerns of the manufacturing of the 787 Dreamliner in a 17 April hearing that the subcommittee has called. If I was him, I would probably tell the world he's not suicidal. He doesn't plan on committing suicide, just in case before he goes there. Like his other buddy that committed suicide last month, supposedly. The main whistleblower for this whole scandal. As you know, many of these planes, there's been videos circulating of their cabins exploding open and engines failing. And like, it's just dangerous right now. Museum worker, this is a brilliant guy, I think. New York Post, museum worker hangs up his own painting, hoping for a big break, gets fired instead. But he got the publicity, though. He thought about it. I'm going to check out his art now. A German art museum worker, an aspiring artist hoping for a big break, got the sack after he smuggled in one of his own paintings and hung it up in the gallery. I mean, this is genius. Instead of trying to steal one, he's like, let me bring my own shit in. I'm going to hang my picture up and let's see what happens. Well, he's in the New York Post, which means he's probably in every newspaper around the world because this story takes place in Germany. Home to famous pieces by renowned artists like Leonardo da Vinci and Henri Matisse. The 51-year-old employee had drilled two holes into a wall to mount his painting into Munich's, I've been there, München as the Germans call it, Pinakothek der Moderne, hoping for an artistic breakthrough, authorities told the German newspaper Süddeutsche Zeitung. I've seen that newspaper too, by the way. But guards quickly realized something was amiss. According to a spokesperson for the museum, supervisors noticed something like this immediately. The man was an employee of the gallery's technical services team and described himself as a freelance artist. The employee considers himself an artist and most likely saw his role in the museum's installation team as a day job to support his true calling. The man lost his job and was banned from the museum. The painting was hung during the early morning hours and spotted by staff soon after the museum opened. The decision was made to keep the picture on display while the gallery is open and take it down after its closing at 6 p.m. In addition to losing his job, the man is also permanently banned from the gallery, which is one of the largest featuring modern art in Europe. All I can say is that we did not receive any positive feedback on the addition from the visitors. Well, they didn't know. Now I'm curious. So we're all going to go probably check out his Instagram now. And I would say it was a gutsy move. And I think it's going to work in his favor. He's now famous for being someone that just goes for it in life. And I like people like that. I love people that have courage. As long as they're not hurting anybody and they have courage to go after their dreams, even if it takes two nails to a wall to do it, I'm proud of them. Interesting news indeed. The one who discovered the God particle may now have discovered if God actually exists because he died. So Peter Higgs, also the finder of the Higgs boson, right? The God particle, died at 94. What is the Higgs boson God particle he predicted? Nobel Peace Prize winner Professor Higgs died. While Higgs made many contributions to physics, his name will always be linked to the particle he predicted. His theoretical demonstration that such a particle could resolve many problems in physics sparked a search lasting for almost 50 years. This became one of the major reasons for the construction of the Large Hadron Collider, one of the largest and most expensive pieces of scientific equipment in history. And what is interesting is he did die on Monday during the day of the solar eclipse. So I find it to be very interesting. He's going to now know if there was a God that created that particle. I believe there is, 100%. So, good luck, Higgs boson. You're on the other side now. Who sounds the alarm on viral hepatitis infections claiming 3,500 lives each day? Make sure you have your hepatitis shots, guys. New data from 187 countries show that the estimated number of deaths from viral hepatitis increased from 1.1 million in 2019 to 1.3 million. If you catch these, you won't even know you have them. They can be very contagious at times. So please take care of yourselves. Gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis cases soar in retirement villages, calls for a sex ed for people over 50. Now, you would think after you reach age 25, 30, 40, your days of being promiscuous are over. I think the reason they're having such a surge is they're all like, oh, we're old and we lasted this long, so we're all clean. And I think the internet is the reason for this. With dating apps and messaging, I think the older people are a lot more frisky than they used to be. It's easier for them to plan. They don't have to go out. They're past all the bullshit. They just want to get laid. So I think that's why this age group specifically, their demographics through the roof. But they forgot that you still got to be clean and get STI reports and make sure you're safe, you old dirty bastards, you. Speaking of interesting health amazements, BBC reports pig kidney transplant patient leaves hospital. The first man to receive a genetically modified kidney transplant from a pig has been discharged from the hospital. Now, this is great news to everyone that's not Muslim or Jewish. I don't know if a Muslim or a Jew would ever allow a pig part into their body unless it was to save their life, I don't know. It would definitely be traumatic for them. The 62-year-old was sent home on Wednesday, 2 weeks after the groundbreaking surgery at Massachusetts General Hospital. Organ transplants from genetically modified pigs have failed in the past, but the success of this procedure so far has been hailed by scientists as a historic milestone in the field of transplantation. In the release, the hospital said the patient, Richard Rick Slayman of Weymouth, Massachusetts, had been battling end-stage kidney disease and required an organ transplant. His doctors successfully transplanted genetically edited pig kidney into his body over a four-hour long surgery on March 16th. My question is, if you have a kid's pigney, a pig's kidney in you, and you eat pork or ham or bacon, are you now a cannibal? Because if you have pig in you, that's keeping you alive. Technically, you're part pig. So if you eat pig, you're now a cannibal. He's got to give up ham and pork, 100%. You can't get a kid, a pigney. I can't even talk today, guys. You cannot get a kidney from a pig implanted into your body and then eat pork. I think it's ethically immoral. What do you think? Drop a comment below, because there's just no way that you could have a pig transplant kidney into your system and still continue to consume or eat pig, ham, pork, or bacon. That would be cannibalism. I hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Beck Lover Podcast, Interesting Times. Make sure you check out all the amazing content I have. Tons of interviews coming your way. I thank you for your support. I can't do it without you. You are everything to me. So thank you. And don't forget, we live in a world full of interesting stories where sometimes reality is definitely stranger than fiction. I'll see you on the next episode. Make sure you stay posted, subscribe, and I'll check you on the other side. Beck Lover side. Toodaloo.